until the new year.
And we're going to turn our attention to the first Advent. Thank you, Juan. Some of you noticed that we didn't have the audio recording on the website. Thank you for noticing that. I apologize. Juan apologized. But it wasn't our fault, was it, Juan? Cheap product made in China, right? It died. The recorder died twice. We went to record. It said it was recording, and there was no recording. And I know I preached, okay? Yeah. So I apologize. Although the DVD should be available on the YouTube, right, from the live streaming. Okay, well, we do have a brand new Sony recorder, so we'll have that up and loaded for you this afternoon. For those that are maybe out there in cyberland and want to rehear the message. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture this time of the year. And I want to read just a couple of verses, verse 6 and verse 7. We'll have a word of prayer. And I might add in my prayer, I forgot that I think it was Friday. I believe her name is Laurie Robertson, Bob and Pam's friend. Where's Bob? Yeah, Walter's brother died suddenly of a heart attack, very unexpectedly. And that was very devastating to the family, especially to Walter. I knew I was remiss to bring a prayer request, so we'll pray for their family. All right, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will preform this. Father God, we realize what we have in this passage is prophetic prophecy given to this great man of God, Isaiah, foretelling of the first and the second advent of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we just lift up our voices in praise for the first advent. And we, Father, anxiously wait the second advent, where Jesus Christ will come and rule from the throne of David, and upon his kingdom there will be no end. Until then, Lord, may our hope rest in the promises you've given us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless the message to the hearts of thy people and hide me behind the cross. And if there's anyone among us today who does not know for sure if they die, they go to heaven. May they take heart to the message. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week I had an appointment with my dentist. Not the most fun place to go, but they're taking some very, very special precautions now. And one of them was you have to drink the special Kool-Aid they give you. It's actually a special kind of mouthwash. And you got to just keep rinsing your mouth out real good. It's antiseptic, obviously. And I went there to have a filling replaced. And the second reason I went is I had noticed of late a few teeth getting quite jagged. And Dr. Nivitt took one look and he said, "Man, you're grinding your teeth." I didn't know that. And I kind of was wondering what might have been causing me to do that. And he said, as I was thinking, he said, "You know, folks are stressing over this pandemic, and it's kept me busy all year making mouth guards for my patients." And then he went on to tell me he's never made so many mouth guards in all of his years of practice. Wow. So I'll be getting one soon. You know, it was for me a subtle sign of the effects and the impact of the pandemic. Its effect is all around us. It does weigh on us, even though we're Christians. And I think it may weigh on us somewhat less than the unsaved population, but nonetheless, it's still subconsciously on our minds. It has for now, and I emphasize that. You read with me, the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will come again, and he will rule from the throne of David. And it is, as it were, already established that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, because it is in God's desire that Jesus rule from the throne of David, which was in the city of Jerusalem. And it is the only eternal city. So the day will come when we will rest easy, and there will not be these kind of anxieties. And so in the interim, let God be responsible for your anxiety. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We can get back to that if you'll understand that Christmas is a time where there should be a renewed, a refresh emergence of hope. So often we think in secular terms that Christmas is a magical time. Anything can happen at Christmas. But we ought to go back to the truth of Christmas. And the truth of Christmas is that it was an emergence of God among humanity. Stop worrying and start trusting in him completely. We know that Solomon told us in Proverbs 3:5-6 to trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And I think it's good advice, especially in the time we live. We don't sometimes even know who to believe. Do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask? Is that helping us? Is that not helping us? Let's just trust God. Amen. Do the best we can and leave the rest to the Lord, and he promises that he'll direct us. We cannot, at this time in our lives, fail in our faith. We must implement hope. And I think Christmas time is a time that we can have a resurgence of that hope because of the message that Christmas gives us. When we are feeling maybe breathless with anxiety, we ought to rest in the assurance that Jesus is here. Amen. He lives in you. Every born again Christian has the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. You know, I read recently David Barlow. He is a professor of psychology at Boston University, and He talked a lot about the heightened anxiety because of the pandemic, and it's actually called GAD, Generalized Anxiety Disorder, and it seems to be proliferating over the course of the last 6-7 months because of the pandemic. And it is characterized, he said, by persistent and excessive worry over a number of different things. And I think even we Christians subconsciously worry that we might contract, COVID-19. You know, a little anxiety is normal, and Jesus told us that, and not to worry, because tomorrow's troubles will be sufficient for themselves. So instead of succumbing to Gad, a child of God must look to Jesus. Christmas, again, is a time that refreshes our understanding of the emergence of hope. You know, the most important headline in our lives or in the world is the very best news ever spoken, but it is hidden from men and women who are living in darkness. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and he was born 2,000 years ago. Man, over the whole course of time, has asked, does God exist? And one day, God appeared in the form of a little baby in Bethlehem, prophesied by the great prophets of old. And according to the scriptures, he came. No one else could have fulfilled that prophecy but Jesus Christ and God himself. It would have been mathematically impossible. The Bible says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And I think of those shepherds who first heard that good news that among us now has come the Savior of the world. Christ is born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds were the first to hear it, reminding us of the wonder of salvation. Isaiah's prophetic words of hope found their ultimate fulfillment at that first Christmas, when those angels proclaimed the birth of Jesus Christ, God among us, Emmanuel. And they declared to those shepherds, be not afraid, fear not, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today, in the city of David, is born unto you the Savior. Luke chapter 2, 10 and 11. It is a truth that the world needs to know. And they will only know that through you and I. A world without God is a world without hope. But God has given us hope. In that very first advent, he came at a time where the world was a very dark place. It's getting that way again, isn't it? We hear about it quite a bit. The world is becoming an evil and dark place. And so it's time once again for a resurgence of hope. And it will happen. Isaiah prophesied. And if the first advent came true, amen, the second one will too. Jesus Christ will come again. He will rule from the throne of David. There's no doubt. And that ought to be your hope as the world seems to get worse and worse and darker, that we will be delivered. But right now, a world lives in darkness because we've rejected the God who loves us. Again, that is why the most important event in human history was the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God, the creator of all that you see, all that you know, with the very air that you breathe, became a man and lived among us to forgive us of our sin. It seems to me that the secular world does not want to admit this truth. They don't even want the name Jesus Christ mentioned in so many places. But it is his name that is our living hope. He is the hope of the world. The long-awaited hope of his people, the Jews. So let this Christmas be an emergence of that hope. A lot of us are full of anxiety. Where's this pandemic going to take us? Where is it going to give in and be done? All in God's timing. For Christmas, it's about eternal hope, not just temporal hope, but eternal hope. And hope is a yielded fruit of our salvation. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Why am I saying this? Because none of us are exempt from bad things happening to us. Okay, so let's look at the reality of things. Amen? None of us are exempt from getting COVID. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what happens, our hope is in eternal life because Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead to save us. And so we ought to be grounded in that truth. Without hope outside of ourselves, we have nothing. Hope in ourselves will not sustain us in the times of trials. Our flesh is weak. Tribulation and testing comes upon us. Hope has to be something outside of ourselves, and it is in God, in the promises that He's made, and He's never failed us. I really wish people would get into the Bible. People say, oh, I've read the Bible, but they really haven't. They've read a few Psalms and skimmed through a few Gospels. Someone actually took the time to read the Bible in a systematic manner, they would be at all. I know I was, first time I ever studied it that way. To look at all the prophecies fulfilled in one man, Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. Our world right now is experiencing uncertain times, and we have entered a defining moment in history. And that is not an over-dramatization of these events of the last year, and maybe even the last decade, but rather a prophetic perspective. Because when we look at the Bible, all of these things were prophesied. How many of us can say we're not living in the time of sorrows? We're experiencing here, even in our church. When Jesus spoke about the end times, He told the disciples the nature of the end. But He said, and this is not the end, but it is a time of sorrows. And I believe that's where we are. But our hope is, if this is the time of sorrow, then our salvation draweth nigh. And what I mean by that is, the scripture is saying the church is about to be delivered. Jesus Christ will come, just as the Bible prophesied in His second advent. You read it with me in the book of Isaiah, that He will come again. His first appearing is in the clouds. He takes up the church to prepare us to be rulers in His kingdom. And you read that with me. So your hope should not be in this world, but in the world to come. Someone once said, I quote, more than any other time in our history, mankind is facing a crossroad. One path leads to despair, but the other is hopefulness. Where are you? If you're a Christian, have hope. The Lord is coming. When people lose hope, they become desperate. They become heartsick. In fact, even the scriptures tell us that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. What is hope? Maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing me mention of the word, the virtue, over and over, and you're not sure. Well, in the New Testament, the word translated hope means confident expectation. For thousands of years, the Jewish people waited for the Messiah. Year after year, decade after decade, century after century, He did not come. Can you imagine the Hebrew people? Where's the Messiah? Where's the promise of His coming? When is He coming to deliver us? He finally came. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, Christ came. At the most perfect time. And He will come again at the most perfect time. And you ought to have a confident expectation in that. Now, I'm not here to say we're all going to be alive when He comes. but we will all be made alive when he does. Amen. Hope is the glue that keeps us together in the midst of adversity and suffering and pain. Because we know that this is not the end. This is not all there is. And for the church, there is so much more. A millennial kingdom with Christ himself ruling from the throne of David, as Isaiah prophesied. And that ought to be a confident expectation. Sad that many of the Jewish patriarchs and Jewish believers failed to have that confident expectation in the first coming. But he did come. Amen. And the world knows Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He is the Savior of the world. And now for 2,000 years he's offered salvation, because it is God's desire, because God is a God of love, that all men would be saved. But it is so unfortunate that all men will not. The blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross, was efficient for every person ever born to be saved and to experience heaven for all eternity. Again, we go back to 1 Timothy. And if God were to elect upon the basis of his desire is that all men would be saved. But we have free will. It is a choice. He'll not, as it were, hold a gun to your head. He just stretches out his arms and says, come. And I will forgive you, and I will make you anew. And many, many down through the years have been arrogant and have spurned the grace of Almighty God. They've rejected it. That's not God's fault. We talked about hell on Wednesday night, because hell ought to be a motivation for us to reach the lost, because there is a real place. But God did not create hell. The Bible tells us that. For humanity. Go read Matthew 25:41. God created hell for those wicked fallen angels. And by the way, they were already in heaven enjoying the very presence of God. Where else would they go and be at peace? They would not. And so God opened the gates in the pit of hell, cast them in, and they will eventually be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Hope is so very important in our lives. Hope is mentioned in the Old Testament many times, at least 68 times. In the New Testament, just a little below that, 58. So 121 times we find hope mentioned in the Scripture. So it must be important. David said, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your hearts, all ye that hope in the Lord. Unfortunately, we Christians, we get out of that mold of putting all of our faith and hope in the Lord. We start putting our faith and hope in our government, in our money, in our jobs, in our family. And all of those will at times fail us. Amen?
Amen.
God will never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Your hope ought to be in the Lord. The psalmist said, for thou art my hope. Is God your hope? Or is the almighty dollar your hope? For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust. David said, from my youth, if there ever was a godly man who was a man after God's own heart, I didn't say he was perfect. Certainly David had his faults. But even as a youth, his hope was in the Lord. I think about young David facing Goliath, just a young lad. His heart was sold out for God because his hope was in Almighty God. He tried on David's armor. Remember the story? You can just imagine, he puts on David's armor, grabs the sword, and he's walking in and is just dragging him down. And he recognizes, I didn't fight the bear or the lion with this. I went by faith and hope in God. And so he rejected Saul's armor and he went with the weapons that God had taught him to use, was a slingshot. But it wasn't the slingshot that won the battle. It was his hope in the Lord. And you got to keep your hope in the Lord. Psalmist also said, Psalm 119:81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. And you can. If you ask the Lord to be your Savior, then your hope is in the word of God. Does your soul faint for your deliverance? I was talking to someone this week, talked to a number of people who are down and out, but one person wasn't sure that if they died, they'd go to heaven, and I had to remind them, you were saved, and you declare Jesus Christ as your Savior. But sometimes when life presses you down and breaks you, you wonder if God has abandoned you. And I'm here to tell you again, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, He'll never take away your salvation. And for those that walk away from the good Lord, and they were saved, and they were honestly, sincerely saved, then they're saved. You say, well, Pastor, not living for the Lord. Leave it in God's hands. He's the ultimate judge. I have never yet found the person who is truly saved, who's walked away from the Lord, who's been completely happy. You know why? God will not allow them to be happy. He'll make them miserable. That's a safeguard to get them back. Amen?
Amen.
Because He's a loving Father. He chastens those whom He loves. Trust God that they'll come back. Sometimes we have to ask God to do what He has to do, that they might be saved from their own destruction. So know what hope is. Hope is so important for us as believers. We need to share it with unbelievers because unbelievers are without hope. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We ought not sorrow as others without hope. When we go to a funeral and there are unsaved people there, sure we sorrow, sure we are grieving, but not without hope. I thank God as a pastor they do many funerals for believers. And even though it's difficult, I know they'll see their loved one again. Amen. That's hope. You believe, and you believe in that second advent. But there are so many who are without hope. And I've done some funerals like that, and they were so difficult and dark. I'll never forget. Did a funeral many years ago for Larry. It wasn't related to our church. And it was a group of people. It looked to me like many of them were not saved. They were even fighting in the foyer over things that should not have been brought up in a funeral home. And I'll never forget Larry coming to me and apologizing. I said, Larry, it's not your fault. He goes, this is very disturbing that they have to bring that here. Their behavior is not that of a Christian because they have no hope. But what really struck me is when I finally left, there was a young lady. She had been crying. She was out in the parking lot and she took both her fists and she was banging on the hood of the car, banging with all of her fists, screaming, I'll never see him again. I'll never see him again. That's so sad. There are people out there, then they will never see their loved ones again. I'm thankful to God. There's a lot of people in this church I miss, and so do you. We're going to see them again. Don't lose hope. Hope is so very important. Jesus is the hope for hopelessness. So if you get there because of this pandemic, turn to Jesus. Hope is not a word that means mere possibility or a good chance. Hope, as it is used in the scriptures, is speaking of a resounding certainty, a confident expectation. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said, chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope? What is our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? The world's getting bad. We know He came already. All the scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus Christ at His first advent, but He is coming again. And I think as we get closer to the end, we have to focus more on the second advent. Did you know when Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World? It's a beautiful Christmas hymn that we sing. But he didn't write that about the first advent. And although the world ought to rejoice that Jesus came, and He became a man and dwelt among us as the perfect Lamb of God given before the foundation of the world. But Isaac Watts wrote that. Joy to the world, the Lord has come because He's coming again. I hope you're hoping in that. I've got to hurry. Do you know, too many Christians have kind of given up on proclaiming the truth at this holiday. Don't do that, please. That's what the devil wants. I know things are tough and it affects you too. But we got to be people of hope. The people out there are struggling. They need to see that you have hope in more than what man is doing. Listen, I pray this morning with Brother Tom that you know, we'll get a vaccine. But first and foremost, I pray to God for it. Amen? He's the creator of this technology. He's the one that gave us the resources to be able to do this. So pray to Him. He is the great physician. You know, we were once hopelessly bound as unsaved people to an existence without God. Do you remember when you were born again? Wow. What a difference that made in your life. And sometimes as we move on in our Christian walk, we forget about that. But I like to be reminded. And I like to go back. And I think about when I first got saved, how I used to drive to work and I used to beg God, God, don't take this feeling from me. But it was more than a feeling. I was a little ignorant back then, you know, babe in Christ, just learning. I realized, no, this is not a feeling. This is a position of confidence. I'm a child of God, a position of confidence. And He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's never done that. Even in the difficult times. You know, right now, even though we don't see it, we have a great hope. First Peter tells us that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for you in heaven. Amen? That's your inheritance as a child of God. So don't lose hope. Life may be hard and cold. It may be filled with pain and sorrow. But the minimal promise to all who are justified by faith is that there is a glory beyond death that is absolutely certain. And Christmas is the emergence of that hope. Christmas means Christ's Mass. And from that, we get Christ sent. Christ's Mass becomes a remembrance of the time when the Son of God was given to humanity that He might ultimately, by fulfilling His mission to the Father, reconcile a lost humanity back to God. It proves to humanity that God loves the whole world. And He did all He could to save a lost humanity. Satan is trying to rob our society from the hope of glory. Because he could not defeat Jesus Christ. He could not keep Him from the cross, although he tried. The world's problems will become increasingly worse and the masses will seek a person, one individual, to get them out of the mess. Unfortunately, they will ultimately turn to the wrong person who will be the Antichrist. Keep your hope in the Lord, not in man. As we close this message, the real Christmas spirit is the joy and the peace that comes from knowing that the promises and the realities that are centered on the person, the work of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the scriptures, cannot change. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care what happens in this world. Whatever is predicted in the Bible is not going to change because God does not change. I'll let that be a lesson to you too in relationship to how the world is changing. Beware of adopting the sinfulness of the world because the world will tell you, especially in this cancel culture, well, that's no good. And by the way, a lot of things that are good are being canceled. And exactly what the prophet Ezekiel said is happening in our society. So if you don't believe the Bible, go and just look at the newspaper. The Bible tells us in the last days of the latter time, that which is good will be evil, and that which is evil is good. Folks, we're already there. God wants you to be convinced of his love for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Keep your hope and trust in the Lord. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord God of heaven, I pray that this message will be a resurgence of our hope. You want us to abound in hope. You want us to look to the Lord Jesus for hope. You want us to share the message of hope. And Father God, we cry out to you. You would help us, instill in us that we are to be the messengers of hope. And Christmas is the most wonderful time of year to share the hope of Jesus Christ. That kind of hope we know has profound influence on the way we live and the way others will live. And we recognize that it arrives above the adversities of life. Hope infuses us with the ability to turn our eyes away from the glitter and the attraction of the world to a much greater light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone here among us who does not know absolutely positively if they die to go to heaven, may they right now in this moment secure their eternal existence by saying, oh God, I'm a sinner. I heard today that you loved me. I heard today that your desire is that all men be saved, but all men won't be because they haven't accepted by faith your grace. So Father, today I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I repent, God. I know I've hurt you in my sin and others, and I repent and I accept Jesus Christ who took my place and paid the penalty of my sin as a vicarious atonement on the cross. And I acknowledge he is God and he rose again from the dead and forever sits at the right hand of you, my heavenly Father. Oh God, I pray if there's any lost here today, they prayed that prayer sincerely and they'll receive the greatest gift they could ever have at Christmas. The gift of your eternal love and salvation. Father, I ask you to bless our dear folks. Keep them safe. Remove from them the discouragement that this world is pouring upon them, poisoning them. And may they realize that Christmas is a time that there ought to be a resurgence of hope in our hearts. Because Jesus Christ came and he's coming again. We praise you for that. We pray in his name. Amen.